Well, God bless everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, and we are the 11th of September 2018, and it's Jesus Christ's birthday, so happy birthday, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to do a sharing with you that God has been working in my heart. It's called How You Respond to Discouragement Determines the Outcome. And I know that there is a lot of people discouraged out there, especially when you look at the world, the situation, the way people are, the way the finances are going, the economies of the world. We hear wars and rumors of wars. So it can be pretty discouraging if we look at the situations. But thank God that we got his word, we got his promises, and that we are truly filled with his spirit, that we can walk in great victory in the situations that confront us. And discouragement means making less confident. It is the state of having lost your confidence or enthusiasm for something. There is an act of discouraging or the state of being discouraged. A synonym of discouragement is demoralization, despair, despondency, disheartenment, dismayed, or dispiritedness. So your thought life can also bring in discouragement when you're looking at your circumstances, problems, and situations in your life. For an example, Elijah thought he was the only one left, okay, the only prophet left, but this was not true because God had 7,000 in Israel that hadn't bowed the knee to worship other gods. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus thought it was the end of the road after Jesus was crucified until Jesus revealed himself to him. In Luke 24, verse 21, this is what they said when they were speaking with this stranger, which was actually Jesus, okay, they didn't know it was him. It says, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. In Lamentations, the prophet here recalls this in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21. It says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. See, God's compassions never fail, no matter what situation you're in, no matter how discouraged you feel, no matter how isolated you may feel, no matter if you are at loggerheads with different people, you are not alone, and God's got a way out for you to escape. God always makes a way for us to escape when we're submitted to him, when we're looking to him, when we're trusting in him. And in Lamentations verse 23, it says, of God's compassions, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Your soul is your will, mind, and emotions. Okay, that contains, your soul contains your will, mind, and emotions. Therefore, I will hope in him. Have an expectation in God. God wants you to have a confident expectation regardless of your circumstances, what they're saying to you, what they're talking to you, what's in front of you. God's got a way out for you, and your hope is in him. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We expect God to do mighty works regardless of what's going on in our life. And we need to control our hearts, our minds, our will and emotions. We need to keep them lined up to the truths of who we are in Christ. And we need to walk with confidence. Verse 25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. God wants you to have a confident expectation in him, and he wants you to keep continuing to do the good things that you know to do, the things that he's put in your hearts, his gifts, his callings, his talents, his abilities. He still wants you to use in your life. He still wants you to trust him moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, no matter if your circumstances change or not, because God is at work and his timing is absolutely perfect. So, you know, if you're discouraged right now, I want you to listen to the rest of this teaching, because it's going to bless you, it's going to build you up. We're going to look at examples in the Word. So how you respond to discouragement determines the outcome. If we put our towels between our legs and run, we will lose, almost certainly fail, and fall in defeat. But when we take on discouragement with seeking God, trusting God, and following his lead, we're going to come out victorious. Every time we trust him, every time we go to him in the situations that we're faced with, the challenges that come up, whatever the obstacle is in your way, it may look like a huge Kilimanjaro mountain problem. It may look like Everest in front of you. But listen, that mountain in front of you is nothing before God. And you can call that mountain, that problem, out of your way by the promises of God and taking great confidence in Him and trusting in Him until it's removed. Proverbs 24:10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Okay, so when adversity comes up, if you're fainting, then you know that you need to build your heart more. You know you need to be in relationship with the Father more, trusting in Him more, and allowing Him to work in you and to trust in what He says above what your circumstances says. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, it says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, Jehovah, the creators of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? See, God doesn't faint. God doesn't freak out. He doesn't get weary. He's strong. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. And He does that when we go to Him, when we trust in Him, when we seek Him. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, when you're trusting in God, when you're keeping faithful and not freaking out, not doing the wrong thing because things ain't going your way and the discouragement seems to be lingering, when you just keep your eyes focused on God, then you're going to soar above those problems like that, wings as eagles. You're going to fly above it. You're going to be looking at it from up down, not from down upwards. God is with you, and God wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to encourage yourself. And it says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God wants you to run. Run to do His word. Run to Him in every situation. Run to confess His word. Run to serve. Run to give. Run to bless. And He wants you to walk before Him and keep your eyes focused. When you take your eyes off God, you're going to faint. When you take your eyes off God, you're going to become weary. You've got to encourage yourself every single day. You've got to strengthen yourself every single day. And God has given us all these examples in His word to show us that we need to go to Him, that we need to be dependent upon Him and His strength and His abilities and His solutions and His answers rather than our own. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, or at the right time, we shall reap. If we faint not, we'll reap the answers, we'll reap the deliverance, we'll reap the blessings, we'll reap the provision that God has provided for us. Daniel 11:32 says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If you're weak, are you not knowing God? Are you not knowing what He's able to do for you? God says to be strong in Him and in the power of His might. And when you know God through your relationship, how He communicates with you through His word, via His spirit, or through other people, when you're listening for that voice, when you're looking for His voice, you'll know it. And He'll give it to you when you're peaceful. He won't give it to you when you're complaining, when you're criticizing, when you're condemning. He's not going to give you the answers. If you're getting answers coming through and you're criticizing, condemning, and complaining, it's not coming from the one true God. It's when you're still, when you recognize that you cannot do anything in your own strength, effort, or ability, but it's trusting the Most High God, Jehovah, the powerful God, and He's seen in order to provide for you, and He needs you to go to Him and trust Him. And there are times in our walk that we can be surrounded by discouragement to the point we lose our peace. And we know that when we are discouraged, our faith becomes low. And if we allow that discouragement to continue, then we can lose our focus and direction and purpose that God has for our lives. When discouragement comes, remember that God is not the source of discouragement. All of us at times have had bad days, some more than others. King David was a man that experienced discouragement. He had a real bad day, which we're going to read about in a minute. But what he'd done in the midst of his discouragement, we can learn from. And God has given us his word so that we can learn from anything that was written in the Old Testament, was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scripture, might have hope. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Get to your word, guys. If you're not going to get to the word, then you're going to become weak. You're going to be hazy on the truth. You're not going to see things clearly. You're going to kind of be missing things and misquoting things. And God wants you to be sharp. He wants you to know that you know that you know. And we have to come back to the scriptures. Yes, we got the Spirit of God in us. Yes, we're led by the Spirit of God. Yes, God can work in us and energize and give us his words to speak. But he's also given his word so that we can know, we can keep ourselves in the right place with God, in our understanding, in our heart and our mind, so we can have clarity. God wants us to have clarity, clearness and direction. God has given us a vision and he's given us a direction. And as we keep that in front of us, as we keep his vision in front of us, then we can stand strong. As we keep his vision of who we truly are now, his outreach that he wants to be done in this world. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. No, he has given us his vision and he's given us goals to reach that vision, and he's working in you to implement different things in your life right now. So if you haven't got a vision, guys, get your vision in mind. Ask God what his vision is for your life. What is your desire? Give them to God. Ask God for his desire. Ask God for his vision. You know, where there is no vision, the people wander aimlessly. That's word vision in Proverbs 29:18 is revelation. Where there is no revelation of God's word, of his understanding, of his direction, then the people wander all over the place. God doesn't want us to wander all over the place. He wants us to walk that straight and narrow walk with joy. And it's the entrance of his word that brings light and direction for us. And God wants you to go to him, and he wants you to know what he says in his word. He wants you to see how he worked with his people, to see how he encourages people, to see how the people encourage themselves with God, how they overcome situation, problems and challenges, and how God delivered them by the right hand of his righteousness, his mighty hand. And God is the same God of the Bible, is the same God that we serve and we preach, and his son Jesus Christ. And God wants you to be strong. He wants you to be focused. And I know God's been working on me lately that to write my vision down, to write the goals that I want to accomplish, to put the dates by them, the time I want them accomplished, to be clear and concerned and to be concise of what I want to accomplish, the things that he's put in my heart. And the things that I've written down are the things that I've gone to God in prayer and clarified with him. And he's given me the desires in my heart, and I've written those things down. And I keep them in front of me. And I thank God they're mine. And I know them. I can see what God wants me to do. You've got to see in your mind what it is God wants you to do before you're going to achieve it. You've got to see your victory. And as you see your victory, then you will manifest that victory. And this is how it works. That's how the word of God works. And, you know, God is with us and he's for us, and he wants you to really be encouraged. But now we're going to take a look at 1 Samuel 13. We're going to look at David and the situation that he was in. And when you put yourself that you were King David in that situation, or you're one of his men that are following him, whatever way you want to do it. But if you put yourself in the story, and then just imagine what your real responses would be, it'll show you where you are. And it helps you strengthen those areas where you're lacking. And this is what I do when I read the scriptures. This is how God works in me and inspires me. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we'll read verses 1 through to 6. And I'm reading it from the American Standard Version. And it says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid upon the south upon Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." Verse 2. "And had taken captive the women and all that were therein, both small and great. They slew not any, but carried them off and went their way. And when David," our King David, "and his men came to the city, behold, it was burnt with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive." Man, can you just imagine that? Just imagine it was your family there. Just imagine it was you and your friends that are walking with God, the believers where you fellowship with, and you've come back to your land, and that your kids and your wives have been taken off, or your husbands if you're a woman. All right, just imagine that. Just imagine the despair and the fear and the wrong thoughts that could have flown through their mind, and I'm certainly they did, and we know they must have done. It says, and when David and his men came to the city, behold, it burned with fire, and the wives and their son and their daughters were taken captive. Verse 4, then David and the people that were with him, that were with David, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. These guys were grieving, man. They were cut to the heart. And David, two wives were taken captive. So his two wives were taken captive. And in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. The people that were with him, the people that were one heart and mind, were so distressed they wanted to stone David, because he was king, he was responsible, and they were looking to stone him. Because the soul of all the people were grieved, they were so grieved that they wanted to take some action, and they wanted to take it out on the people right next to them. And sometimes when we're discouraged, we can take what we're grieving about and discouraged about and take it on the people that are close to us. And when we do that, we set ourselves up for a fall. So we want to learn to control our emotions. And discouragement is an emotion that affects the heart and mind to the point of grief, to the point of despair. And we got to remember that we're body, soul, and spirit. And in that soul is our will, mind, and emotions. And when we keep our will, mind, and emotions in check, we keep it aligned with the truth of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then we're powerful and we're not going to be so easily stopped. And verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed. Man, he must have been distressed even more so, because not only was his wife gone, but the people wanted to stone them. For the people spake of stone, because the soul of the people grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. But David ran away. No, it says, and David strengthened himself in Jehovah his God. When you are faced with discouragement, or when you're faced with despair or a loss or whatever's going on, what do you do? What do you do? Do you react like these guys that you want to take out on someone else? Or do you strengthen yourself in your God? Because that's what each and every one of us should do as believers, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, filled with the Spirit of God, with an understanding of His Word, knowing how God works in us both to will and to do of His pleasure. When we are faced with challenges, we need to, first reaction, go to God straight away. Get Him in on the scene and encourage yourself in God by saying His Word, by knowing His promises to you. There are times in our lives when we've been discouraged and we've been distressed. But imagine as if you were there, the thoughts and the feelings of that would run through your mind. And to add to David's problems, his own men were talking stone him. Just imagine that. And that really, when I put myself in that situation, and I don't know if I got the full heart of it, but I know how he must have felt so bad. You know, a lot of people would just run away in that situation. And there was a time when David did run, when King Saul was after David. You know, he was out to kill him, and he had to run. He had to go on the run. But David didn't run in this situation. And he trusted God, and he knew to turn to God. And we just got to remember, when a situation comes up in our life, when discouragement comes, however little or big it is, we got to make our first reaction and responses is to go to God, to turn and seek Him. And David trusted God, see? So he trusted God, and he asked Him what to do. We're going to read this down, verse 7 and 8. And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of Jehovah, saying, if I pursue after this troop, shall I overtake them? See, David didn't make a move without going to God first. And he asked God what to do. And that's what we can do. Before you make any moves in your situation, go to God first. Get peaceful, get still, trust Him, and wait for the answer. And God answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. Not only are you going to overtake them, thou shalt without fail recover all. And God gave him a promise there. And God has given us His great and precious promises. And the promises in God's word is that we are more than conquerors, that God won't allow us to be tempted above that we are able. That God would always cause us to triumph in Christ. David's response to the whole situation was to go to God. David was precise and clear on his prayer to God, and God was precise and clear in his answer to David, and I just love that. You know, you need to get clear and concerned. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Guys, you've got to be clear on what you want when you pray to God. Be very clear and be very precise, and God will answer you very clearly and very precisely. If you've got a vision and you've got a goals you want to accomplish, you need to also be clear on your goals and on your vision. And you need to know exactly what it is you want so that you can bring it into manifestation by following God's lead and direction. And everything that you do, bring God in on the situation. Seek his heart first. He really wants you to go to him first. He really wants you to keep him first so that he can keep you ahead of the game, that he can keep you victorious in every situation if challenges do arise. And God will always make you victorious, but he wants to be first, right? Keep God the first love of your life. See, David was not moved by the fear of the situation, even though he was under distress and the burden of the situation. He wasn't moved by fear of the situation or the pressure that his man wanted to stone him. He knew what he had to do. But he turned his heart to seek God for answers and direction. God gave David his answers to pursue and the encouragement that was he was going to overtake them and recover all. David was not a stranger to the adversity. Like he faced the giants, he overcame them. David kept God the first love of his life and sought him in each situation, especially when he was hiding from King Saul, like I just mentioned. Whenever we turn to God and trust him, we will get his answers and directions. So whatever may be discouraging you right now, turn to God, trust him, and you will have your triumph over your situation. But see, a lot of people don't give God enough time to come through. They keep their mind stayed for about 10 minutes, and then they start letting those thoughts rush in. But you're to cast down every imagination. That's what the Word of God says. God has put you as in control of your thinking. So you need to control your thinking. And you need to do that by putting the Word there, by getting that promise and anchoring yourself to the promises of God. Anchoring yourself to the living Word, Jesus Christ. Let that Word dwell in you richly. And let it be there. And don't be moved by your feelings. Do not make a decision when you're angry. Do not make decisions when you're emotional. But get your heart still. Get your heart focused on God. He wants you to do this. And some people have been going through maybe a really long challenge. It's been going on, an ongoing thing. But listen, God is bringing you deliverance. You need to stay your mind. Stay the course. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. You might think that this is it, I can't go any further, but you'll find that given strength from God when you go to him again. Say, Father, I'm still trusting you, I'm still relying, still say his word, even if it doesn't look like your situation is changing. Listen, I've been in this situation for a long time, and it hasn't changed the way that I liked it to. But I know God's timing is perfect and God is faithful and he's going to take care of me. He's going to give me the desires of my heart. I've made him my first love. He's my first port of call. He's the one I look to. He's the one I go to. And I know I need to do my part. And my part is to go to him, to get his directions, to get his answers, whether that's directly from him or through his word or through what someone else is saying to me. And when I hear the voice of God in any of those things, or I see the voice of God in any of those things, I make sure I do it. And I know that God is faithful. And God will build you up. God will encourage you, I encourage myself every day in God. And I know that we all get challenges daily in different areas and avenues, but are you encouraging yourself in God when those times come? Or are you being emotionally beat up to the point you get to the next fellowship or you hear the next teaching? Well, look, there's good news. You can have fellowship every day, and your fellowship is with God and his son Jesus Christ, and God wants your joy to be full. And when you get with the household of believers and the body of Christ, you can really be an encouragement and a blessing. A lot of people just come and take and take because they got this problem, that problem. But God says, look, you take your problems to Him. You look to Him. You don't look to other people to solve your problems. They may be able to help you and guide you in your situation, but you got to take responsibility of your own life. See, David could have chosen to be a victim because of what had happened to him. And I've had a victim mentality in my past, but I ain't got one now because I know what the Word of God says about it. Have you got a victim mentality? See, David, you know, could have said, God, look what they've done, and we've been out helping you, and we've been out doing other things for you, and you let them do this, and they put the blame. A victim mentality passes the blame. A victim mentality will hold other people accountable instead of holding themselves accountable. We have to hold ourselves accountable before God and get rid of a victim mindset. And sometimes that victim mindset can be there and you don't even know it. Oh, they've done this to me, so they owe me. Or they spoke bad about me, so I'm not having nothing to do with them. Because of them, they've hindered what I'm doing. Listen, don't have a victim mentality. You take everything to God and let Him work things out for you. And the more you do that, the more healing power and strength in you, the more wisdom you get about the situations and how to work with God, how to walk with God, how to handle other people, and how to be wise and see circumstances and situations and then give encouragement to other people. See, David took responsibility and charge by going to God. That's how each of us take responsibility. That's how each of us get out of a victim's mindset. And we seek His direction. And then we act on what God shows us to do. This is what David did. He went to God. He sought God. He trusted God. And then he done what God showed him to do. The results of David seeking God's direction and following God's directions is recorded in 1 Samuel 30, verses 17 through to 19. And David smote from the twilight even unto the even of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 men, which rode up upon camels and fled. And David recovered that all the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, nor sons nor daughters, nor spoil, nor anything that had taken to them. David recovered all. Listen, if you've lost in your situations, God says you are going to recover all. God is a God of restoration. He'll give you double for your trouble, baby. But you got to believe. You got to trust God. You got to go to God. You got to allow Him to work. And you got to start passing the blame. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart towards a brother or sister, you need to repent and you need to forgive them. Get yourself out of that situation. Because when you hold resentment and when you hold unforgiveness in your heart, you're troubling yourself. You're opening up yourself to the accuser. You need to have forgiveness in your heart because that's the heart and mind of Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? Okay? That when we believe in Him, that we shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. No, forgiveness is a part of a believer's walk. Love is a part of a believer's walk. Encouraging others is part of a believer's walk. Tearing down people is not a part of a believer's walk. Speaking behind people's back is not a part of a believer's walk. Running one another down is not a part of a believer's walk. We are to be the examples in this world to the unbelieving nation of how one should be. And we got Christ in us, the hope of glory. We got the knowledge of the Word of God living in our hearts. We got no excuse. God has given us everything that pertains unto this life and godliness through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And it's about time we take responsibility, build that Word in our hearts, stop looking at excuses, stop blaming other people for why we're not doing this or we haven't received that, because a lot of people are doing it. God says stop complaining. And I'm just sharing what God's putting in my heart right now. He's inspiring me to say this, and it needs to be said, so I'm saying it. And I'm saying it in the spirit of meekness, considering myself, lest I also be tempted. Because we've all had these attributes in part, or in whole, or in little. But God wants us to move as one body. God wants to clear the air where the prince of the power of the air is moving. And every time we stay with these attitude, thoughts and bad ideas, we invite them into our space. They got no right to be in your space or jurisdiction because you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. It's the light that dispels the darkness. And when we're walking in truth, when we're walking in that righteousness, living that righteousness, then we can advance. Okay, but it's when we're drawing in the darkness through the negatives of this world, allowing our emotions to be affected and criticizing, condemning and complaining about one another. You know, it's the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. When we move as one body, great things move. In Psalms 34, let's read here, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's what should continually be in our mouths. And when we put his word in our hearts and we start walking by the Spirit, our minds are being renewed as we walk, as we seek to do what he wants us to do. My soul, verse 2, make her boast in the Lord, not in anyone else, but in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. People be so blessed because you've got God first and they can see the blessings of your life being manifested. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Not our ministries, not our ministers, not our followers, but we magnify the Lord and we do it together, and let us exalt his name together. And David said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. What area in your life have you got fear? If you take a closer look and ask God to reveal, he will fill them to you. And then he'll equip you so that you can get rid of them. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But through some of our attitudes and things that we picked up along the way, there's fear in disguise. And God is shedding his light upon it. So seek the Lord, and he'll hear you, and he'll deliver you from all your fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. See, when you look to God, you're going to be lightened and enlightened. When you trust him for the answers, when you trust him for the direction. But when you keep looking at your circumstances, when you keep looking at your lack, your illnesses, your sicknesses, or the problems and whatever it is, whatever area of your life you're being depressed or, you know, or oppressed in, then, you know, it's going to be darker. So we look to him, and then we see that light where we're to follow the direction and the path that we need to take. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I can say that. This is my first scripture, because this poor man here cried unto the Lord, and he heard me and saved me out of all my troubles. And God will do the same for anyone that turns to him. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear, reverence him. We need to respect God. We need to look to him and trust his word to us, that his word will go to work for us when we believe it, when we say it, when we build our hearts with it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy is the man that trusteth in him. If you're not happy, then you need to start trusting in the Lord. Because if you're trusting the Lord, you'll be happy regardless of your circumstances. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. For there is no want to them that fear him. And this fear we're talking about is respect. There is no want to them that respect him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. If you're seeking God with a pure and honest heart, taking a good look at your own self before you start casting judgment upon others, and looking at your walk, how you can be empowered by God, how you can empower other people. Our life is about service to one another. Then you're going to start really getting blessed. And anything that you need will be yours. You won't even have to pray for it. It will come to you. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the respect of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil. Ooh. And thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil. Just get away from it. And do good. Do the right thing. Seek peace and pursue it. If you need to be reconciled to a brother and sister in Christ, God wants you to do that. So start doing it. Put away your pride. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And get humble, meek before God. Remember who's redeemed you. Remember who's given you life. Remember who's breathed his breath into you. his spiritual breath, that you got life in you, you got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember God's grace and mercy in your life, and you'll remember it for other people, and pursue it. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. They're on you and me. If we're born again of the Spirit of God, we're righteous before God. And his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So stop doing evil if you're doing it. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth them. And he does what? Delivereth them out of all their troubles. David knew this. This is why he said it here. We've seen it in his life. He delivered him from Goliath. He delivered him from King Saul. And he delivered him from the Amalekites. And he recovered all. And you can recover all, whatever's going on, whatever you've lost, and that you need in your life, God will provide for you. Verse 18, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, humble heart, and saved such as be of contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, referring to Jesus Christ, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate righteousness shall be desolate. So we're not going to be desolate because we love righteousness, because we are righteousness. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Lord redeemeth the souls of his servant, the will, mind, and emotions, the life of the man. He redeemeth the soul of his servant, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Praise God for this glorious truth. In the book of James, James teaches us that we should respond to adversities and trials that life throws in front of us, that we should count it as joy. Let's read this, because it's a great verse. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So the word translated count is an accounting term that means we are to place trials in the joy column of our emotions. The word count also means to rule or exercise authority. So when you're going through a trial or you're facing a tribulation, you got to take authority over it and rule over your feelings and choose joy as the dominant motion. And I thought that was very powerful. So remember, our soul life is the will, mind, and emotions. We keep our emotions in line with who we are in Christ and the Word of God. And when we know and remember who we are in Christ. See, there's an enemy of our soul who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he seeketh whom he may devour. But we're to be on guard. We're to stay sharp. Because he walks around like a roaring lion, right? So God wants us to be sober, to be sharp, to be vigilant, to be on the ball. To guard our thinking, to guard our thoughts, to guard our words, to guard our heart, what we allow in. See, if you allow negatives to come in and fester and dwell in you, it's going to produce the wrong thing in you. It's going to affect your emotions. It's going to affect the way you speak. So the more that you get God's word in there, the more you say God's word, the more you dwell on the light, then that darkness is going to go from you. And you'll have peace in your situation. You'll learn to control that tongue. Because we can. Okay. As we submit our will, mind, and emotions to what God says about us. And remind ourselves of what God says. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not five senses, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, right? Imaginations of thoughts that arise up through the words and situations that are going on, and every high thing that is sought of itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're to control our thinking. We can replace those wrong thoughts with the right thoughts of what God says about us. So as we keep our minds, will, and emotions in line with the truth of who we are in Christ, we are to remember that we are in control of our thinking. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We're to control our thinking, guys, and we keep our thinking in line with the truth of who we are in Christ, what God says about us today, how we're to see each other, how we're to see God, how we're to see Christ, how we're to see our situations victorious, how we're to see our deliverance. We see our deliverance, even if there isn't any deliverance around. You see your deliverance, you call for your deliverance, you thank God for your deliverance, and you will manifest your deliverance. You keep your vision and goal in mind. And if you're up against a challenge, you bring it before God and you stay your mind till you get that deliverance, because God is faithful. And we keep doing what he shows us to do. We trust him, we seek him, and he guides us. So one of the greatest ways to allow God to go to work is by claiming his promises and saying them through our mouth to declare who you are now as a son or daughter of God. Say, I am made in the likeness of God. I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me. I declare I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. I am seated at God's right hand. I have an inheritance of God. I am reigning and ruling this life by one Jesus Christ. I've been set free. And as Jesus Christ is right now, so am I in this world. And there's no condemnation to me, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, because of Christ's accomplishments, I have the right to live my life with God through Jesus Christ in this world as a conqueror, with all of God's abundance in every single area of my life. This is my right as a born-again child of the Most High God, with Christ in me, the hope of glory. So you say these declarations over your life because this is true. You're not lying. Your circumstances might say you're lying, but the truth of the Word of God says you're not lying, so say them. Again, I encourage anyone that hasn't listened to my Faith and Confession seminar on my blog, it's there on audio and video, go and listen to it and work it, because there's some great truths in there, great encouragement. We look through 12 sessions on the Word about faith and confession and what God says about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 30, it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that you put on the new man in your mind, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Philippians 3:9 says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. See, God wants us to know what we have and what we've received and who we are now. You are righteous, you are sanctified, you are redeemed, and many more things you are in Christ. So declare, I will accomplish God's desires and goals and dreams he has placed in my heart. Declare this out of your mouth. Because I'm led by the Spirit of God and I apply his principles in my life. I appropriate the promises of God in my life. I have a confident expectation of good things through Jesus Christ to manifest all of God's blessings in my life through my free will choice that God has given to me. I choose to believe God and to live in relationship with God, following his directions, applying his principles, being led by the Spirit of God, doing his will from my heart and seeking his heart and directions, looking to lift other people up, looking to serve, looking to put myself beneath others to help them rise up. That's what we're all about, service. It's not about us getting served and us getting everything. It's about us serving other people and helping them to see who they are in Christ, to train them up, to speak God's vision into their lives and to give them a confident expectation through the word that we speak. We're to be leaders of God's people, and we're to encourage them to really go to God and to connect to the whole body of Christ, because there is a massive body out there. And as we come together as one with one mind, one heart, then we can move as one body in a powerful, dynamic way. See, God has done his part for us and we need to do our part. We have to know what is ours and how to go about receiving it if we're going to manifest it. See, the Word of God has to be applied by us through our actions and our confession. God's thoughts and ways must become our thoughts and ways. God wants us to put all our desires into his hands and with a mindset that is unmovable and confident that God will bring to pass our requests and that it is already reality. You've got to see it in your mind. what you have desired, and if you and you will have it, you will start to manifest it. There are no limits with God. He can do all things, and so can we when we believe God. You simply must step out of the way and let God be God. Do not even consider your circumstances. And the truth of it, with God, we lack nothing, because God is a great provider. He sees in order to provide, and he's a great deliverer. He's the Lord of hosts. And we know from the scripture that we are complete in Christ. There's nothing that God has not provided for us to be victorious. God has freely given us all things to enjoy. And when we seek him and keep him first and keep him the first love of our lives, we start to see his blessings manifested in every area of our lives, regardless of our situation and needs that can arise in our lives. It is when we turn to God and trust him to take care of our need, we're going to see his supply come through for us. So as we grow in our relationship with God and our confidence and trust grows in God to provide and deliver us, all through the scriptures we see that God not only supplies the needs of his people, but he also provides for his people in great abundance. He also delivers us and calls us to triumph in Christ, so we are able to be a blessing to bless other people and help them. See, God has already made provisions for your need and a way to escape, so that you're not burdened down under the pressures of this world. And as you go to God with a heart filled with faith and expectations, then you're going to see that need and that deliverance and that abundant supply come to you. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burdens is light." See, we just need to keep it simple. And we just need to keep that word burning in our hearts. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That's a promise, guys. Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place." Romans 8:33-39 says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Christ is making intercession for you and me right now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." No! In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Can you say this like I'm saying that? "For I, Lawrence Tor, am persuaded." Paul wrote this, but I'm declaring it. I believe this. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I believe that. Do you? 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." The devils and his spirits and the people that walk with the devil, we've overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you. Who is in you? Christ in you, the hope of glory, than he, the God of this world, Satan, that is in this world. We're greater than them. Okay, we've been given authority. We've been given sonship. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we need to take a stand on who we are and truly believe it in our hearts. We need to live it. We need to learn to live it and ask God to help us to live it. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Who's the Son of God? Jesus Christ. "And if you believe on him, then this is written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life." You have eternal life right now. "And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Verse 14. "And this is the confidence," clear confidence with no doubts, worries or fears in it. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us and God heareth us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So when you feel discouraged or having discouragement, the first thing to do is seek God. Ask him what to do to encourage yourself in him by going to him. So you seek God, ask him what to do, and then encourage yourself in God by going to him. Don't have a victim's mindset. Nobody owes you nothing, but you owe it to yourself to take responsibility for yourself and to seek God's help and direction. That's the first port of call. And then God will provide your help, whether that's by other people or direct help. He will provide for you. He will open the door for you so that you can be delivered from whatever's entrapping you. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We're to stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free. When we're in situations as well, we need, God has given us faith that we can believe him to come out of those situations. And we do it by going to him and believing him. So act on the things he shows you to do in your situation so you can recover all. Whatever you lost, God wants you to recover all. And he will restore it to you as you keep him the first love of your life, as you keep focused on him and his cause and moving with him. Keep a joyful heart, knowing that the victory is yours, and your faith will increase through the challenges. Through the challenge that you've gone through, your faith is going to be increased by it, because you know God is faithful. So when you're learning, you're growing. You know, through my walk as a believer, I've been in many different situations, and every time I've turned to God in those situations, he's delivered me, so it encourages me more to go to him. Don't look at the circumstances. Take God at his word and confess them rather than what you see. I'm going to finish off now just with a few verses of scripture that are going to really bless you. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Nehemiah 8:10, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them of whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." See, that joy of the Lord is our strength. Exodus 15:1-2 says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horses and his riders have he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an inhabitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him." See, they praised God when God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh and his pursuing army. They sung praises, sacrifices of praises. God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalms 9:9 says, and 9-11 says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed." So when you're in trouble, get to him, get under his shelter, a refuge in times of trouble. "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee." See, you won't forsake him when you seek God, and you're going to put your trust in him because you know that he's not going to forsake you. Verse 11 says, "Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings." Psalms 34:10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." And I finish off with 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8-12 says this, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." Give your testimonies. "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works." That's what we talk about, not what's going on in the world. "Glory ye in his holy name. Let the hearts of them that rejoice that seek the Lord." And I love that. Your heart is going to rejoice when you seek God. He wants you to have a heart rejoicing. He doesn't want you to have oppression and fear and worries and doubts. But he's going to let your heart rejoice when you seek him. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he has done. Not only in his work, but in your life. Remember his marvelous works that he has done. His wonders and the judgments of his mouth. So this is what I wanted to share. So God bless you and have a great